I want to speak this evening on the subject of taking the knee or taking a knee. We're going to center our thoughts particularly in the words of verse 9 and 10, but other passages of Scripture as well. Verse 9, Philippians chapter 2 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth." That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Can we come to the Lord, please, in attitude of prayer? If you can, we'll stand just for a moment as we pray. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us already. We thank the Lord for the blessing of the ministry and song tonight. We thank the Lord for Charlotte. We pray, O God, You'll bless her, encourage her, and use her. Lord, direct her in the plans and the paths that You have for her in her life ahead. Lord, we thank Thee for the blessing she's been. We thank the Lord for the encouragement her ministry has been to us already tonight. And O God, we pray now that as we come to the Word of God, give us help. Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon us, we pray. Help us, O God, tonight to see Thee and to hear Thee. And O God, we pray most of all this night that those on hearing the voice of God calling them in salvation, may they be obedient to that heavenly calling. May they run tonight to Christ and bow the knee before Him in salvation. So answer prayer for us. Give us help now, we ask. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The whole issue of taking a knee is something which started back in 2016 in America when an American footballer refused to stand for the national anthem of America because he believed the country oppressed and suppressed black people. The symbolic gesture of kneeling on one knee became a symbol more now of defiance and rebellion. It took on a particular significance last year, again in America, after the death of George Floyd. And really it became a feature of the ungodly and the hellish movement that is the Black Lives Matter movement. A movement I've spoken on before. And a movement which has at its very heart a defiance and a hatred of godly principles. I've said in the past that the BLM movement is one of the most visible and outward demonstrations of this whole woke agenda that is being promoted across our world right now. But the taking the knee gesture has become now not so much a symbol of seeking to overcome differences, but rather it is now a political symbol of rebellion against free speech and of holding any sort of view that does not fit in with the liberal agenda of this age. Taking the knee was supposed to be a gesture against racism, but now it has become a symbol of outward defiance and rebellion against anyone who would dare to defend liberty and free speech and who would dare to speak out against the ills and sins of this society. Now, the whole taking the knee gesture has come back into prominence again at the start of the Euros football championship. As many footballers now have been sucked into this agenda and they take the knee at the start of football matches in the Euros, in order to show solidarity with their oppressed fellow countrymen. It is pretty rich, mind you, for multi-million pound football players to pretend that they're actually interested in social justice. But I suppose in one way, it is good that so many ungodly people across this world are taking a knee, are bending a knee, because they're getting into good practice, because one day all the inhabitants of this world will bend their knee. One day all who have ever lived will take a knee. But this bending of the knee that I speak of and we'll look at this evening is not to show solidarity with some oppressed people, but rather it will be taking the knee before the sovereign, before the Creator, before their judge. The words of our text this evening speak of a time when every knee shall bow, but not bow in a football stadium, not bow before audiences, but rather one day every knee, including this knee of mine, will bow before the Lord. And this evening, as we think of this subject of taking the knee, I want us to come to that time when every knee will bend and every knee will bow. Paul here in Philippians 2 verses 9 through to 11 takes us to a time that is yet future. A time when all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. A time when none shall escape justice. A time when none shall evade the righteous justice of the judge of all the earth. And tonight in this meeting, tonight to those who are watching online, every single one of us this evening, we will stand before God. We will all come before the judgment bar of God, and on our knee we will bow, and with our tongue we will confess. And this evening, therefore, we want to come to that time. Want to look down the annals of history and see that time. That time when the Lord comes. And that time when the Lord judges this world as He sits upon His throne and executes righteous judgment. And as all who fall before Him will acknowledge Him as Lord. As we think of this subject, therefore, this evening, and this time around the judgment throne of God, I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the dominion of this throne. The dominion of this throne. As you read through Scripture, you'll soon realize that the Father has given to the Son, Christ, the role of the judge of all the earth. In John chapter 5 and verse 22 says, He hath committed unto the Son judgment. Christ is the one who is appointed by the Godhead to be the judge of all the earth. John chapter 5 goes on to say that given Him authority to judge, execute judgment also. And you see, the day of Christ's second coming, the day of Christ coming again into this world, will be the day of judgment. And it's absolutely vital tonight that we notice the dominion of this judgment throne. Look at verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, that time when the Lord comes in glory from the heavens and sits in judgment, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Verse number 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In verse 11, sorry, that every tongue should confess. Notice the dominion of this throne. Because it extends to all the earth. It extends to all people. All things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth. All shall stand before Him. The psalmist says in Psalm 103, verse 19, that the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Well, you see tonight countless millions across this world, countless hundreds of people in this society tonight and in our community tonight carry on living as if God doesn't exist. Countless numbers this evening go about their business, conduct their lives in the notion that there is no God, and well, if there is God, well, He doesn't lay any claim to their lives. You think this evening of all those hellish, ungodly movements that are so prominent tonight. The abortion lobby, the transgender movement, the LGBTQ plus whatever other letters they want to add onto it. They all believe that they can live without God, that God has no bearing upon their lives. And they refuse to live their lives in accordance with the law of God. You think of our governments tonight. The governments of this world, the wicked rules of this world, the sinful, ungodly actions of those in authority who think that the law of God doesn't matter, who believe that God doesn't apply to their lives. Did we not see it in such a stark fashion over recent days? A leading government minister in our government, and the only thing he can apologize for is breaking man's law, breaking COVID regulations. But first and foremost, he broke God's law. He broke God's command. And that's the way we are living. That's symptomatic of our nation tonight, as if God doesn't exist. Maybe even in this meeting tonight, that's how you're living your life. Oh, you wouldn't deny that there's a God, you believe in God. But tonight, you deny the reality that one day you'll stand before Him. One day you'll give an account of your life, that one day your actions will be laid bare, and you will be judged by the judge of all the earth, the righteous judge. And tonight, this is something we need to see, that the standard by which you and I will be judged are not the standards of this age. They're not those standards that are deemed acceptable or unacceptable in this society now. You will be judged according to the standard of His righteousness. Acts 17, verse 31. Paul preaching on Mars Hill. He talks about that day of judgment. There'll be judgment in righteousness. According to God's perfect standard. His perfect justice will be enacted upon you. And sinner tonight in this meeting without Christ, unconverted and still in your sin, that judgment will rise up to condemn you and damn you to a lost eternity. But here's the point that we must not miss, that all will be judged. You think you can live your life merrily without the Lord. You think you can go on in life without the Savior? Well, you can. But one day your sins will catch up with you. One day your rebellion and your defiance and your stubbornness will catch up with you. As on that day, your knee, along with every other knee, will bow before the Lord. Because of the domain of this throne, it's over all, and that includes you. None will escape. None will evade His justice on that day. Oh, that tonight the Holy Spirit of God would stamp that upon your heart. That you would see tonight that one day you'll stand before the Lord. That one day your knee will bow before Him. One day your tongue will confess Him that He is Lord. But if you stand before Him in your sin, that tongue will be used to confess the Lord. But then the Lord will condemn you and damn you because of your refusal to come to Christ. There are none who will escape His judgment. Oh, there'll be those, all right, who on that day will cry unto the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Because I believe that day when the Savior rends the open skies and the clouds roll back, every eye will see Him and realize this is the Lord. He is Lord. And those who are still out of Christ will realize He is Lord, but it's too late for me. That's why tonight you need to realize and you need to be in time. You need to be ready before that day the Lord comes. The dominion of this throne. But I want you to see something more in this verse. Not just the dominion of this throne, but I want you to see, secondly, the demands from this throne. The demands from this throne. Verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And verse 11, every tongue should confess. There will be demands laid upon us all as we stand before the throne. Demands of bowing and demands of confessing. You see, the whole woke movement today, the whole BLM movement, the take the knee movement, they all demand that we must bow in honor and recognition of some cause, of some agenda, of some oppressed people. We must take a knee in recognition of a man who sadly died. But you see, on that day, on the day of the judgment, all nations, all people will be demanded to bow the knee, not before a dead man, but before a living man. Notice verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above all other names. All these causes today, they say we're doing this for a name. We're doing this in the cause of so-and-so. We're doing this in the cause of somebody. The demands from the throne of the Lord that day will be because there is a name higher than all other names. What is the name of Jesus? Well, I believe in verse number 11, we get the answer. What is that name that we'll bow before? Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Is Lord. Is Lord. That's the name we'll all bow before. Because that's the sovereign, supreme title of our Lord. He is Lord of all and Lord over all. Many have bowed the knee to the Lord already in salvation and in submission. Many have crowned Him Lord of their life. But you see, tonight, for those who meet the Lord still in their sin and stand before the judgment seat of Christ still in their sin, they will bow the knee, not by grace this time, but now by force and by compulsion. Why? Why? Well, I believe the answer as to what all this is about is given in the previous verses. Verse 6 through to verse 8. Look at just verse 9 for a moment. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Wherefore? That word wherefore there in verse 9 is linking what has been talked about in the previous verses to what Paul goes on to talk about now in these next few verses. Wherefore? In the previous verses, he has talked about the humiliation of Christ, the death of Christ especially. And then he comes into verse 9 and talks about the exaltation of Christ. Wherefore, on the basis of the death of Christ, on that basis, the Lord is highly exalted. And you see, there's a dividing line. There's something that defines you. And it's not about your color. It's not about your class. The thing that defines us is the cross and the cross of Christ. The redemption that Christ sought to acclaim and sought to attain there on the cross. It's on the basis of the cross work of Christ that He has ascended back to heaven. And it's on the basis of the cross work of Christ that you and I will be judged. It's not by our deeds. It's not by our good actions. It's not by anything you can do or anything you've sought to do in this world. It's all down to the cross and what you've done with the Christ of the cross. Well, today, many bow before gods of their own ideology. Many bow before gods of their own invention. Gods of wood, gods of imagination, gods of social justice, gods of science. Oh, every god, and they're bowing before it. The Lord is higher than all of them. He is exalted far above all. Why? Because of His work on the cross. And it's because of that work that He's exalted to heaven, and it's on the basis of that work that you will be judged. Every knee will be demanded to bow before Him. Every tongue will be demanded to confess that He is Lord because of the cross. You see, tonight, sinner, whether you want to admit it or not, the gospel places demands on you. You might think you can come to a gospel meeting and go as you've come, and it makes no effect on you. Tonight, the gospel places a claim in your life. The gospel demands that you repent of your sin, that you turn from your sin, that you acknowledge your sin, you cry unto the Lord for forgiveness of that sin. That's the demands that the gospel lays upon you tonight. Because it's the gospel, it's the cross, it's what you've done with Jesus Christ and His work in the cross is the deciding factor in your soul's destiny for heaven or for hell. You see, what you do with the cross of Christ in life, what you do with Christ in life will determine what He does with you in death. You receive Him in life, He will receive you in death. But you reject Him in life, then He will reject you in death. You bow the knee today in repentance and faith, and on the day of judgment, you will gladly, freely bow the knee in adoration and worship as you stand face to face with your Savior. But you refuse to bow the knee today, and you continue to refuse to bow the knee, and you go out into eternity, dying as you've lived a sinner. You'll bow the knee then by compulsion and by force, as never before you're brought before the Christ that you refused in life. That Christ tonight who stands with arms wide open to save you. On that day, will condemn you. There are demands from this throne. There are demands laid upon you tonight. The demands of the gospel: repent and turn from sin and receive Christ as your Savior. I wonder this evening how you'll respond. Will you tonight bow the knee before Christ and crown Him Lord of your life? Will you turn from your sin? And will you give your heart and life over to Jesus Christ tonight? Or will you continue to reject Him? Continue to live without Him? And go out into eternity, meet Him, and then be forced by force and compulsion to bow your knee. But then it'll be too late. Because that brings us then to the damnation from this throne. The damnation from this throne. As I've said, the scene that Paul brings to us here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through to 11, is the scene of the Lord's return. That scene of the day of judgment. It'll be a day of jubilation for every redeemed soul. Because for all of us, that'll be that day when our redemption is forever and finally complete as the Lord takes us home to glory. while it'll be a day of jubilation for the redeemed, it'll be a day of damnation for the unsaved. Be a day of damnation for those who've been forced to bow before the knee, for those who in life refuse to bow the knee before Him, for those who in life refuse to repent and turn from their sin, for those who thought it would work out all right, for those, it'll be a day of damnation. I wonder, as you sit in this meeting tonight, what sort of a day will that day be for you? How will it be for you in the day of judgment? How will it be for you as you stand before the Lord? As we close this evening, I want you to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. And in this passage of Scripture, the Lord has been teaching many parables concerning the second coming of Christ. But notice what He says at the end of this chapter, Matthew chapter 25 and the verse 31. Matthew brings us to this scene of the day of the Lord's return. Matthew 25, verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory." Notice this. "And before Him shall be gathered all nations." All nations. "And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left." You see, that'll be a day of separation. That day when the Lord, who knows the hearts of all, will separate those that are saved from those that are lost. Tonight in this meeting, there's a mixture, but the Lord only knows your hearts. But you see, in that day, there'll be no hiding place. There'll be no hiding place. And the Lord will separate. And you'll be identified, not by your religion, not by the color of your skin, not by the size of your bank account. You will be identified either as saved or lost, because that's all that matters in this world. Notice what He says to those that are redeemed, verse 34. "Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What a blessed day. Those who have received Christ in life, He'll say, "Come, I've now received you into My very immediate presence and glory." What a day that will be. Come inherit the kingdom. But come down to verse 41. "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me. Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." What a contrast. What a contrast. As those who have listened to the Lord speaking to His own redeemed people, and He says to them, Come, inherit the kingdom. Now He turns to those who are unsaved and out of Christ. He says to them, depart. Depart. I wonder this evening, what word will you hear from the Lord on that day? As you take a knee before the judge of all the earth, and as on bended knee and with confession of tongue you acknowledge him as Lord, then what will you hear from the Lord? Will you hear come? Or will you hear depart? Verse 46. They shall go away into everlasting punishment. They shall go away into everlasting punishment. You see, on that day, you bow the knee. And sinner, you bow the knee not by grace, but rather by force. As you confess that he is Lord, but you will do it not that he is your Savior, but now that he is your judge. And the last act of every sinner on this earth, the last act of every reprobate ruler, the last act of every ungodly legislator, the last act of every ungodly individual, of every self-righteous sinner who believed they were good enough and didn't need Christ in their life, the last act they'll take is to bow the knee before the Lord, that Lord that they refused. Because you see, as we bow before him, we need an advocate. We need someone to plead our cause. And for those who are saved tonight, Christ is our advocate. He is our lawyer. He pleads our cause. He declares us redeemed. That's why he says, come. Not because we are any better than anybody else, but because we've received Christ. We're resting, trusting alone in him. Christ will plead our cause. Sinners, you stand before him, as you bow the knee, as your tongue confesses, you will have no advocate. And you will have no one to plead your cause, because you will be guilty. You'll stand guilty. And you'll stand before God guilty. You will be damned. Damned for all eternity because of your sin. That place that is occupied by the damned demons and the damned men. Because you see, on that day, all will confess the lordship of Christ. And all those in hell will realize that they're there for their own sin. Realize they're there because of their refusal to come to Christ. They shall go away into everlasting punishment. As I close this evening, I want you to see that this is where our world is heading. Well, you can have many theories about what's going on in this world right now. People come up with their own notions, what's happening and where we're going. Folks, this is where we're going. To the day of judgment. This is where the course of human history will one day end, before the judgment throne of God. And how will you stand before him that day? How will it be with your soul as you stand before him? What will his words be to you? What will his actions be toward you? Today, taking a knee is a sign of social justice, we're told. But you see, on that day, taking a knee will be a sign of divine justice. God's justice, true justice, absolute justice. Christ shall judge this world in righteousness. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Will you bow before him that day as your Savior? Or will you bow before him that day and he will be your judge? stand guilty and go out into outer darkness. As you bow the knee before the Lord on that day, where then? Where then?